It is good once again to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. It is a wonderful Lord's Day. He has allowed us to wake on this morning, to have the activity of our limbs, to be in our right minds, to come and to study His Word on this morning and before Bible class. Seeing Brother Michael added to the body of Christ is a rejoicing occasion for a man to realize that salvation is only in the Lord. And by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, one can, and we have seen and we have experienced ourselves, to have our sins washed away, to be added to the Lord's church according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord adds to the church daily those that are being saved. And we are truly thankful for His Word and for all that He has done for us. On this morning, I want to direct your minds to the topic of, I think I've got it made. I think I've got it made. Now, how many times have you forgot to do something because you thought you had it made? We think that we have all the time in the world, but time runs out. You know that you should be in a certain place at a certain time, but you wait to the last minute to prepare because you think that you have it made. Our tomorrow, which we call our tomorrow, is not promised to us. The next minute, the next second is not promised to us. If you have never, ever been in the room where someone has died, and when I say in the room, I mean in the presence of this individual, you may not really understand death. You may not see and understand when a person takes that last breath. And before, when they're able to speak to you, and they say, I don't have anything to worry about because I have it made. Many have sadly mistaken, because of the life in which they lived, members of the Lord's church who think that just because they are in Christ means that they're going to stay in Christ. I think I've got it made. Well, I want us to think again. And as we think again, I want us to realize that many of us do not have it made. Many have problems in their lives that they need to deal with. Situations that they need to overcome. In the book of 1 Corinthians, once again, chapter 10, we're going to look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon the whom the ends of the world are come. When we go to the Old Testament, we don't go to say that we need to live like they lived. But we go to the Old Testament to see how they lived. To understand that some did right in the eyes of God and they were found to be faithful. And others turned their backs on God. And they turned their backs on God because they thought that what they were doing was much better than what God wanted them to do. So as we look here, that says that these things were written for our admonition, for our advice, for warnings that we may heed, that we may know and understand that we cannot live in the ways that some of the Israelites lived and think that God is pleased with us. We need to examine our lives. When we have the attitude of, I think I've got it made, and I will have time for last minute preparations. You know, there's many times where we wait to the last minute to do things, and it's okay. But there are other times where we cannot wait to the last minute. Because that last minute may be your last minute. We need to consider those things. Again, James states that your life is but a vapor, that it appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. I tell you and tell you and tell you again that one moment you're here and the next moment you're gone. We need to get our lives in order. Matthew chapter 24, verses 43 through 44. Matthew 24, verses 43 through 44. As we think about Jesus coming back, many people say, well, I'm going to wait. I'm going to do all I can. And at the last minute, I'm going to turn my life over to Him. But what if you're by yourself? Well, when you think that He's coming back and you're by yourself, what are you going to do? Who's going to be there to hear your confession? Who's going to be there to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Ghost? Who's going to be there for those that think that I have, you know, tomorrow I have the next minute to get my life in order? Is that really true? Matthew 24, starting with verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what which the thief watched, the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. What have you been engaged in this past week? What have you done where God will look at you and say, you know, no way you're my servant because of the sins that you're committing? What have you done? Have you shown yourself to be pleasing to God? Have you shown yourself to be friendly to others? Have you seized those opportunities to do good unto all men? Therefore be you ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Watching. Ready. Prepared. Don't have to worry about, did I forget a sin to repent of? Don't have to worry about those things because you're living the way God wants you to live. Amen. See, we have people that want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. They don't want anyone to remind them of anything. Well, if you live according to God's word, you don't have to worry about that. But you still need to be put in remembrance of the thing, but you don't have to worry about someone saying, did you get your life right? Did you pray today? Did you do good unto anyone today? Were you watching for the Lord to come back in the clouds of glory? Did you do those things today? See, we're just now, you know, about 20 minutes to 12, actually 21. Some of y'all watches may have 22 minutes. It would take a few. But what are you going to do with the time that you have? Well, I have time for it. I have time to go and to get my life right. I have time to go over there and get my life right with this person that I've sinned against. Yes, I'm here in the presence of other saints and I'm worshiping God. But knowing that my worship is unacceptable, I have time to get it right. Do you really? Do you really? And what part of that do you not understand? No. You do not have time. You do not have time. I think that we get things mixed up. Sometimes we think that we're the maker. We're the creator. We're the ones that says who will get into heaven and who will not get into heaven. You know, when we think about sin, I can venture off into that for a little while and everything is going to be okay. Paul tells the Corinthians, no, it's not going to be okay. You need to consider what happened to those individuals in Israel. You need to look at them and understand that they too thought that they had time to get their lives in order. They had time to do something that God had not authorized, but yet they did it anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, once again, verses 7 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, once again, verses 7 through 11. He says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things, he says once again, now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now let's think about this just for a second here. It happened to them for example. Well, who wasn't an example to then? It was an example to all the rest that did not do what they were doing. Now you look and you see what's happened to them. Do you want the same thing to happen to you? It was written, the Holy Ghost inspired men to write this down in order for us to see it. And to read and ask ourselves, do we want it to happen to us? Do we want to have a strong desire to serve something other than God? Now we have to think about what idolatry really is. When we put things ahead of God, that means that we have a strong desire for that instead of for what He desires for us to do. We need to change. We need to ask ourselves, are we really ready? Are we really ready? Because Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back, He's coming back for His church. He's coming back for those that are in Him. He's coming back for those that have died in Him. He's coming back for those that are dedicated to serving Him in a manner that He's pleased with. Do we have time for last minute preparations? Again, the answer is no. The answer is no. Aaron built the golden calf. And he built the golden calf because the people were tired of waiting on Moses. What are you tired of waiting on today? What is your golden calf? What have you put in front of God? What have you put in front of how God wants you to worship Him because you have thought that this thing is much better? Shouldn't be anything. Shouldn't be anything. As we think about Moses going up on Mount Sinai to get the commandments from God, and as the people again got tired of waiting on Moses to come down, and they asked Aaron to build them an image in order to worship, and to idol worship now. See, you can't say, I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to say that it's okay because I'm doing it before God. It's not okay. It's not okay. In the book of Exodus chapter 32, verses 3 through 5. Exodus 32, verses 3 through 5. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, where is the lion there? Who brought them out of the land of Egypt? God brought them out of the land of Egypt. Not that golden image. God brought them. So many times what we do as people, we want to put something in worship that should not be there. God is not pleased with that. He's not pleased with that. And we should not say that it's acceptable unto God. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Well, got the golden image. Then tomorrow, we're going to still worship God. Does this sound like God was okay with dual service? When we look at the displeasement that God had, does it sound like he's okay with us saying, you know, let's add to what God has not authorized. Let's do this because, you know, we really want to see God, but yet I know we can't see him, so we're going to put this thing before us and say, this is our God that has brought us from a very long way. See, we can reflect back on the life of sin that we lived, and we can say, now that I have this or I have that, this is why I'm where I am. We are where we are because of God. Amen. And let us never forget it. Exodus chapter 32, verses 6 and 8. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thy brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Go down, Moses. The people have corrupted themselves. Wasn't anything that God had done. Moses didn't stay up on Mount Sinai too long. The people corrupted themselves. So, what encourages us today to participate in sin? It's self. It's no one else. It's self. It's not because God has not answered your prayers. It's not because someone has not treated you the way that you should be treated. It's all about self when it comes down to sin. But when it comes down to worshiping God, it's all about God. And let us never forget it. Israel tested God's limits. It says, beware of fornication, Paul tells them. There in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In the book of Numbers chapter 25 verses 1 through 4. Numbers 25, verses 1 through 4. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor. And the angel of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierceness of anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. They turned away from God. They turned unto Baal-peor, you know, a God that you know, let's look at this God and realize that we can commit sexual sins and everything is okay. God says, no, it's not okay. He says, no, it's not okay. And so Paul, as he goes and he reflects back upon the children of Israel, he reminded them that as the children of Israel tempted God, we should not tempt Christ. We should not tempt Christ. Numbers 21, verses 4, 6. Why do we have these admonitions? Why do we have these warnings? Why are they in Scripture? Numbers 21, verses 4 through 6 says, as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to come past to the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much more discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, for our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. What causes us to have sorrow in our lives today? What causes us to be discouraged because of what's going on with us today? Now, many can look at it and say, I know why I'm going through what I'm going through. It's because of the sinful lifestyle that I'm living. But I'm not going to do anything about it because, you know, I don't believe that God is going to punish me. Well, the people of Israel thought the same thing. Well, we can do this and everything is going to be all right. If they didn't think it was all right, they wouldn't have done it. Moses told them what they were supposed to do, but yet they did something different. Moses, as the Bible tells us, he was a God unto them. You're going to be a God to them. God told Moses this. But as you are God to them, I want you to remember something, Moses. It's the commands that I'm giving you that you need to tell the people. It's not anything of your own. So Moses was following after God's will. So the people wasn't just mad at God. They were mad at Moses as well. But yet, who were they hurting? They was only hurting themselves. The Spirit had been around before. And we need to understand this. Beware of the spirit of dissatisfaction. When a man is dissatisfied with what God wants him to do, and he does what he wants to do, we need to know that punishment is in store for him. Numbers chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. Numbers 14, verses 22 through 23. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. There's a land that has been promised to us. A place that is called heaven. But if we have the wrong spirit, we won't make it there. It is not for the timid to get there. It is not for that man that has walked for a little time and then turns away from God and says, I can wait until the last minute because I figure I can realize and know when Jesus is coming back. But you better than Jesus himself. Because the Bible says, not even the Son of Man knows when he's coming back. Do you have time to wait to get your life in order? Verse 27, how long should I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Those are the ones that died. Those that murmured against God. Are you murmuring today? Is your life what God would have it to be? Have you turned away from God, or have you said, I can do this and still worship God and say, God, you be pleased with it? Man, today, follow the example of the Israelites. They're trying to force God to do something that God will not do. God does not like sin. God does not participate, or God does not dwell with sinful men. We cannot force him because he is the creator. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 to 23. This is something that where we all fall into the category from one time or another, where we profess to be who God wants us to be, but yet we're so far away from him that he does not even know us. Matthew 7, 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? All sounds good, don't it? But what about Jesus? How does Jesus feel about it? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I don't have anything to do with you. You know, you say you know me, but I don't know you. You cannot come in. You cannot come in. They profess who Christ is, but that's not enough. They claim to do his will in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. You know, just professing and claiming doesn't make a thing so. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house and digged and deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Do you have time for last minute preparations? Do you have it made? Is everything all right? Or is there some things that we still need to do? They failed to examine right versus wrong. That's what the Israelites failed to do. That's what many people are failing to do today. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 21, the Bible says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And again, looking at verse 21, it's important to realize who is going to get into heaven. The same ones that got into the promised land. The same attitude that they had, in order to get into heaven, we must have that same attitude. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." How important is it to prepare right now? How important is it to prepare right now? Maybe you're here and your life is not what it's supposed to be. Your life is not what God desired to be. You need to realize this. Soon it will be too late. In Luke chapter 13, verses 25 through 28, "When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and has taught in our streets. But ye shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you that workers of iniquity, all ye workers of iniquity." He said, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Sad. It's going to be a sad, sad day on the day of judgment when many people that think that they're going to get in will be refused because of their attitudes, because they waited too late. Waited too late. Will time run out on you? Will time run out on you? There are many times where we would like to think that we can be given extra time. When the judgment comes, there's not going to be any extra time. It's only coming around once. And if you miss it, shame on you. Shame on you. If you're here this morning and you have been delaying to come to Christ, delay no longer. Come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away, added to the body by the Lord Himself. Maybe you're here and you are a member of the Lord's church and you have strayed away and you have been saying, "Oh, I have tomorrow. I have next week. I'm going to do it next year. That's my New Year's resolution, to get my life right with God. You may not see the new year. Amen. Get your life right with God today. Amen. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.